We are halfway through the NFL season already. That doesn't even seem possible, Kevin.
Ready?
I mean, we're going into week nine. Now, I know you kind of had a busy weekend the last couple of weeks for the NFL, so you haven't been really able to play catch up except for your beloved Raiders. And I'm thinking it was probably good that you...
Yeah, I was able to watch their game that they... didn't quite show up at in Buffalo, but I watched it.
Yeah, I got to ask you, Kevin, because I know the season has not gone quite the way Raider fans have been hoping. What is going on?
Everyone's expectations, yeah. Critics, sports people, yeah.
I mean, here's how crazy it has been. Derek Carr he looked great against Kansas City, but for most of the season, except for against Kansas City, they have not had the long ball like they've had the last couple of seasons with Derek Carr. And Derek Carr is throwing more interceptions.
They've had a few, and unfortunately some of those long balls have been caught. The game against Buffalo, turnovers just killed them. They had two fumbles and two or three interceptions. You're going to lose a game if you do that, unfortunately. Part of it's too is I've seen a lot of the receivers not doing the right routes. I've seen them not fighting for the ball, and then a couple of them are Carr's fault too. He's just not making the throws. I mean, you know, he is making plays, but there's just a little bit of everything. It's not just on Carr, you know. Some of the play calling, I can't believe what's going on. Penalties as well. It's just little things too that are killing the team. Whether it's the missed point against San Diego that, you know, led to them losing instead of being able to get tied and go into overtime, you know. It's just little things, you know. And, you know, they get lucky against your Chiefs, and then they can't pull it around in Buffalo. They never do well in Buffalo anyway. I hate it when they go to Buffalo. It's like when I used to watch the Dodgers all the time, and they would go to Montreal, and they would suck in Montreal, you know. It's just one of those places they just don't do well. You mentioned your Chiefs. Your Chiefs did well. And they're, you know, who's the team that has their number?
Oh, it's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has owned us for the last several years, and we just everything's about bounces don't go our way. We have not been able to stop Le'Veon Bell since he came into the league. I mean, even in this last week when we were in it. Let's think about the last two meetings with Pittsburgh. You go back to the playoffs last year. We hold them to all field goals, and yet we still lose because of a holding penalty on a two-point conversion at the end of the game that would have won us the game. This season, we're hanging in there. It's tight. We take a lead, and then there's that crazy bounce play to Antonio Brown where he gets the ball and then takes it to the end zone. We can't get lucky.
You guys are finding ways to win now, though.
Yeah, I mean, I do have my concerns. Our defense is starting to show why it is missing Eric Berry and Tamba Hali. I'm hoping Tamba Hali will be back here in the next couple of weeks after his stint on IR. And we just haven't been getting after the passer like we did last season. Another big help, though, was the return this week of Steven Nelson to play cornerback. Our starting cornerbacks opposite Marcus Peters have not played well this season. They've been thrown at constantly. One game they look great, the next game they're getting torched. But, you know, it looks like we might have found a receiver, too. There's a kid named DeMarcus Robinson who's really stepped up for them since Conley went down with the...
I was asking you about him. I think it was last week.
Yeah. And when Conley went down, and this kid's really, it looks like he's stepping up. And Kareem Hunt's slowing down a little bit, but that doesn't necessarily surprise me. They've ridden him pretty hard, and he is only a rookie. They've got Dallas this upcoming week and then the bye week, and I think it's coming at a good time. But a win against Denver was huge, and we're sitting right now pretty much in the driver's seat in the AFC West.
Yeah, you guys own the AFC West at 6-2 with both Denver, Los Angeles, and my Oakland Raiders at three wins apiece right now. Yeah. So, yeah. 3-5, 3-5, and Broncos at 3-4. So yeah, you guys are definitely the team to beat there. As for best records right now, you're tied with the Steelers and the Patriots. Yep. Of course, the Bills, because they had the bye, they're at 5-2. They're looking pretty good as well.
Well, before we get into the rest of the league, we've hit our teams, but let's take care of a little business first. Of course, this is the End Zone on the Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, you can find us on our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app, which has been a very solid app. They've really done some great work with that. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you use Android devices, you can find us on the Google Play app. Visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. Drop us a like on the Facebook page. Feel free to throw your comments up there. And if you don't want to throw them there, drop us an email at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can follow me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Where can people follow you on the social media, Kevin?
Find me at Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
Yes. Now, normally we do a pretty in-depth week wrap-up show, but I got to tell you, there was some bad football this past week. But there's a couple of things I want to bring point up first, though. First, I want to make some get well wishes out to Zach Miller, the tight end of the Chicago Bears. He dislocated his knee in a horrific injury on Sunday, and I don't think anybody had any idea until the reports started coming out Monday morning. He was in danger of actually having to have his leg amputated from the internal injuries from that injury. Luckily, that doesn't look to be the case, but you hate to see that anytime. I just hope he can get back to having a normal life, much less a football career, Kevin.
That was the play that also they called back as touchdown, right?
Yeah, and even every analysis person said, what were they thinking? That was clearly a touchdown.
I saw analysis where they were looking at it and they said that it wasn't a touchdown, but I saw it go both ways. But either way, it would have been nice if he'd gotten that touchdown.
Yeah. So, but I think the big thing that came out of week 8, Kevin, was maybe the game of the year, and that was the Houston Texans and Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
I think Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are still throwing touchdowns.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson was able to let loose. You think playing in Seattle against that defense, they were able to put some points up on them, man.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson. We're going to address that when we get to our fantasy thing. But that was an incredibly fun game. I kind of had it on the NFL Red Zone while I was doing a few other things, and I found myself getting wrapped up into it. I actually turned to the main feed on my television to just watch that game. I mean, that was just a fun game. Absolutely back and forth. Defenses making plays, incredible offensive plays, great quarterback play by both quarterbacks. I don't think you can question anymore that Deshaun Watson is legit. He's going to be our rookie of the year, as much as I want to see Kareem Hunt get it. But this guy has already set a record for most touchdown passes by a rookie with 19.
Oh, crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah, most of the other games are like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing really spectacular this week, but you know, let's talk about what the current NFL standings are, Kevin. We kind of talked a little bit about the AFC picture, but who would have thought at the beginning of the season that basically the Patriots at this point would be pretty much tied with the Buffalo Bills for the lead in the AFC East?
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills are one game behind just because they've had their bye, but this week the Patriots get their bye. So if Buffalo wins, they will be tied, and so that'll make things really interesting.
And
with Miami at 4-3 and Jets 3-5.
And the Buffalo Bills do have, as I just said real quick, Buffalo Bills do have the New York Jets on Thursday night, so.
This is true. Yes, that should be a win for them.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. The Jets have been weird this year. They've shocked me.
Yeah, yeah, they have been. Pittsburgh, AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-2 with Baltimore trailing 4-4 and Cincinnati 3-4, and of course the hapless Cleveland Browns at 0-8.
I think we were wrong, Kevin.
Let me ask you about this AFC. Yeah, we thought they're going to go maybe 8-8 or something, whatever. Okay. Let's look at this AFC South picture. You had picked the Houston Texans
Yes.
To possibly win this one here. But right now we've got Tennessee and the Jacksonville Jaguars tied at 4-3, with Houston at 3-4, trailed by Colts at 2-6. How are you feeling about that right now, especially with Deshaun and the rest of the
team? I think that's a three-team horse race till the end of the season. I think the biggest difference is you look at Houston's early schedule. They've been to Seattle. They played Kansas City. They've had a few tough games, and let's not forget Houston's had a lot of injuries.
So I think what I get from what you're saying is that a few divisional game wins here, they could be up in first place or tied if.
Yeah, because one, Jacksonville has a hellacious defense. I'll give them that. Leonard Fournette is a stud, but you're still playing Blake Bortles as your quarterback. And there's just there's nothing about Tennessee that excites me.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, we covered the AFC West, but let's talk about the NFC right now. We got Philadelphia, best record right now. It's 7-1.
And Carson Wentz, your MVP leading candidate.
Yes. We're going to talk about their new acquisition as well. Dallas Cowboys at 4-3, trailed by Washington at 3-4, and the Giants at 1-6. AFC North looks like it's going to be the Vikings right now, unless Detroit or Packers come up there. Vikings are at 6-2, Green Bay at 4-3, Detroit and Chicago at 3-4 and 3-5. Saints, 5-2, man. NFC South with Carolina Panthers right there at 5-3, trailed by the Falcons at 4-3, Tampa Bay at 2-5. Do I have to start taking the Saints seriously again?
They're playing some some defense, and they have a running game between Ingram and Kamara. So, yeah, I think it's time to start taking the Saints a little seriously.
All right. Okay. Then the NFC West that we touched on, we got the Seattle Seahawks and Rams tied at 5-2. I'm surprised about the Rams. Arizona Cardinals at 3-4, and San Francisco at 0-8. So, yeah, there we are right now with the current standings.
Yeah, and, you know, I look at these standings, and, you know, the NFL is always a crapshoot. And here's the thing. There's some surprises. I think we both thought Cleveland would at least be competitive this year. Boy, were we wrong. The West, I think...
No.
The teams are just self-combusting. Denver's a mess, and in fact, Denver is going to be has benched Trevor Siemian and will be starting the ever great Brock Osweiler this week, Kevin.
Oh, that name again! Great. Oh, that's good news for the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders. I mean, you had the Carr injury. Marshawn Lynch maybe hasn't quite panned out.
Well, no, what I'm saying is the Raiders defense has a nice close up. Relationship with Brock Osweiler, and so I'm sure they're looking forward to that.
There's a lot of defensives that have a nice close-up relationship with Brock Osweiler, but the Raiders.
Let's touch on the power rankings here. You can guess who's number one. It's the Eagles. Patriots at number two. I want to ask you something here. Steelers at three. Your Chiefs are at four with the Rams at five. Followed by the Seahawks, Saints, Vikings, Bills, and Falcons at number 10. How are you feeling about where your Chiefs are there, and do you think there's any of the teams that should be in the top 10 that are not?
I think the top 10 are pretty fairly rounded out. I think that's – you can maybe swap the Falcons and the Cowboys, but with the whole Ezekiel Elliott situation. I'm surprised the Texans aren't a little higher because I think they're on the upswing. I would have had them over the Titans. I think I would have had them over the Dolphins for sure. The Dolphins are still a little bit high for my liking. But, no, I think Kansas City being in at four, the Patriots are on a roll. They lost to the Steelers, and the Eagles have the best record in the NFL. So I can roll with that. But
I agree. I think it's pretty fair.
So – I think the NFL always does a pretty good job of sorting itself out, and it's doing a good thing. And I'll tell you what, though, Kevin, I look at these teams, though, and the biggest thing I always come back to, especially this year, it's been a war of attrition. Injuries have been killing teams. Green Bay should be higher up there, but with Aaron Rodgers out and just injuries, the New York Giants have been destroyed by injuries this season.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we've got some news. We've got some trades. We also have some trades. Yeah. And then we also have some trades.
Kevin, when did the NFL go fantasy football?
Exactly. I don't, you know, what's funny. I was listening to Fantasy Football Focus, you know, the Matthew Berry podcast. And one of the other guys on there was saying, like, you know, we need to start realizing when the trade deadline is and be prepared for it, because it didn't used to be this exciting. It didn't used to be these things that would happen at the trade deadline for NFL. It was boring. You know, maybe the trades happened earlier. You might get one. Not as exciting as, like, you know, the baseball or NBA trade. So it's crazy, man. Let's talk about this, man.
Let's talk about the first trade, because I think this is actually the most impactful trade right now for this season. And that is the Houston Texans trading Dwayne Brown, their left tackle, to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this has been a bizarre season for Dwayne Brown. He held out up till the game against Seattle and then came in and played almost that entire game and barely let anybody touch Deshaun Watson. But he is not happy in Houston. We've had that whole situation in Houston where the players are kind of angry at Bob McNair, the owner, for his little inmates running the asylum thing and all that. It's been an ugly situation. So Houston sent him out to Seattle for a bunch of draft picks. It was originally going to be Jeremy Lane, the cornerback from Seattle, but he failed the physical. So he went back to Seattle, and Seattle's enclosing another draft pick in there.
So wait. The Seattle player that's currently on the team failed the physical?
He failed his physical, but they didn't want to void the trade, so Seattle sent another draft pick to the Houston Texans instead of the player. So, but this is a huge pickup for Seattle, because Seattle's offensive line is a disaster. Dwayne Brown plugs in at left tackle, and he's solid, and he's going to become Russell Westbrook's best friend. And I mean, I said Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson's best friend. The way Russell Wilson has played this year, if this guy gets any kind of time, he's going to be really dangerous, Kevin.
Yeah. But that's not the big dude. That's kind of like
the... I think that impacts this season pretty strongly as far as a contending team.
Well, no. Come on. The next one
Okay. Jay Ajayi traded to the Philadelphia Eagles, but I've been listening to the sources on this. There's a few things. What they're saying is the reason why Jay Ajayi got traded, and if you remember going back to last season, at the beginning of the season, Jay Ajayi got into pretty hot water with Dolphins head coach Adam Gase at the beginning of the season, because he showed up late to practice. He actually missed a team flight. And he ended up going on a run and playing very well, but he was never quite in favor of it, and he has not been good this year. But the Dolphins haven't been good.
The Dolphins have not been good. They've not scored a rushing touchdown. Yeah. I think their red zone percentage is horrible. Their offensive line is horrible. You know, what's interesting is that he kind of hit the lottery here.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
But what's interesting too, I'm looking on the Score has an article here, and it says Jay Ajayi rejects the bad attitude claims. I consider myself a team guy. What else would he say when he goes to a contender?
But there's another issue with Jay Ajayi too, is that he's had a knee issue all season. For us who have him in fantasy football, every week he's on the injury report with this knee injury. It's hard to say with that, and he is. He's going to go to Philadelphia, and he's still going to split time with LeGarrette Blount, where he was just... Now, on a strictly football thing, this is a great trade for the Eagles, getting Ajayi. He's a better blocker than any of the current running backs they have on their roster, and he could give them some pop. Philadelphia has a much better offensive line, and it's going to take some pressure off of Carson Wentz. Fantasy players, we'll wait to see on this. I mean, this is a big trade for Philly, but I don't think this was them getting an area of need, especially when they really could have went after Dwayne Brown, because they lost their starting left tackle, Jason Peters, for the season and maybe his career a week ago against the Redskins. So.
Yeah, well, it seems like who's the other running back on the Eagles? He's had health.
Well, they have LeGarrette Blount and then somewhere. Wendell Smallwood.
Wendell, that's the guy I was trying to remember. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to affect my fantasy team.
Well,
we'll talk about that later.
I'm glad you talked about fantasy, though, because your all-time favorite fantasy football player, Kevin, got traded from the Carolina Panthers to the Buffalo Bills.
And I still have him on my roster on a couple teams. This guy just bugs
me. And that is Kelvin Benjamin. You know what, Kevin? I'm going to say this right now. this is a guy who could benefit from a change of scenery. I think he fell kind of out of favor in Carolina, and Buffalo has no wide receivers.
Yeah, I think this is a good thing. I'm hoping this pays off for fantasy teams as well. But, you know, Devin Funchess, I guess, is the big number one receiver now. And I have him as well in another league, so I'm kind of happy about that. So hopefully it'll work out for both teams here.
But
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, this was a shocker. Everybody thought Jimmy Garoppolo was going to stay in New England, be the heir apparent to Brady, you know, sign a contract, pay him nice money to sit on the bench. Well, the story is that Garoppolo basically told New England, I want to play. I appreciate you offering me a big contract to be the backup and sit and wait for Brady, but I want to play. It's not about the money. It's about the playing time.
When he was traded, I heard a report that the only quarterback left on the Patriots roster was actually Brady himself, so he didn't have a backup. Were they trying to get someone? Did they get
We'll get to this because it's quite interesting. So Jimmy Garoppolo gets traded to the San Francisco 49ers for the 49ers' second-round draft pick, which is going to be actually close to a first-round draft pick the way the 49ers' record is shaking up. Jimmy Garoppolo, this trade has such an effect on the offseason in the NFL too, Kevin, because everybody had Kirk Cousins leaving Washington going to San Francisco. That's not happening now.
Yes.
This could be a major shakeup because Kirk Cousins, if he goes back to Washington, I don't see how he can go back to Washington after the way he's been treated by them the last two seasons.
He's on, didn't they do the franchise tag?
He is the first quarterback to ever play two straight seasons on the franchise tag.
Oh, jeez. But he's getting a nice paycheck,
but
though.
He could. This opens up his market, though. Everybody had him going to San Francisco, reuniting with Shanahan. But this opens him up. There's a few interesting possibilities here. And a couple surprise teams, I think, could be in service for Kirk Cousins. Obviously, I think Jacksonville would be a fool not to go after Kirk Cousins. But sneaky, sneaky, watch out for the Pittsburgh Steelers making a run at Kirk Cousins in the offseason. Ben Roethlisberger talked retirement at the end of the season, and he's talked about it during this season.
Interesting.
But here's the kicker of this.
Hold on.
Kevin, you asked me.
Go ahead. I was going to say something about Garoppolo.
Well, this ties into the Garoppolo thing. You asked me about the Patriots and their backup situation. After the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers cut Brian Hoyer, who used to be a Patriots backup quarterback. Guess who the Patriots signed today to be their new backup quarterback? Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, of course.
So what do you have to say about handsome Jimmy G?
Yeah, so this is what I find funny. So the Niners give up some stuff to get Garoppolo. And 49er coach Kyle Shanahan said, quotation marks, can't promise that Garoppolo will play this year.
which is hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, there's no way Garoppolo plays this week. I'm sorry, unless C.J. Beathard gets hurt.
That was Kyle Shanahan's trick from a trick or treat late Halloween joke here. That's just ridiculous. He's gonna play.
I mean, at worst case scenario,
you don't trade for this guy. Even though they're 0-8 or whatever, you don't trade for this guy to not start him right away and start getting him into the system.
Well, no,
Come on.
So I'll give you worst case scenario before Garoppolo is named the starter in San Francisco. They've got two games before their bye. Garoppolo could sit to be the backup for the next two games to learn the playbook, because everybody says Shanahan's playbook is pretty complicated. So I could see that, learning the playbook, getting practice, getting on, because San Francisco has nothing to play for this year. So why risk it? Let Beathard take the lumps, get past the bye week.
Let me finish it. No,
Let Jimmy G learn the system, and after the bye week, they play the Seattle Seahawks. That's 3 weeks of learning the system, giving him the bye week to get really acclimated, and then be the starter for the rest of the season after Seattle. I could see that happening. My guess is Jimmy G is going to be the starter by next week. It's too short of a week, too short of a time for him to come in and be the starter for the game against Arizona. Just not going to happen. But by my guess is by the following week he will be the starter. Worst case scenario, he will be the starter after the bye week. But
I wanted to mention I got some news here.
What you got?
Some news. NFL reinstates Josh Gordon on a conditional basis. Yeah,
what are those conditions? And I mean, come on, Josh Gordon
it says here NFL announced Wednesday has reinstated suspended Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Brown on a conditional basis. Gordon will be allowed to start practicing with the Browns on November 20th and can be placed on an active roster November 27th at the earliest. He'll be eligible to play the final 5 weeks of the season. He has not appeared in NFL games since 2014 due to numerous failed drug tests. This has to be his last shot. You know, this guy's had too many, chances given. So I hope he's learned something because dude was.
Yeah,
we'll see if he's still got some.
I won a fantasy football league 1 year thanks to Josh Gordon.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah, I hope he can get it together. I mean, I hope Cleveland trades him because I think that would be a big plus to see, get out of that toxic environment. And of course, while we're talking about suspensions, Ezekiel Elliott is suspended again until he's not suspended anymore. This is worse than Deflategate, Kevin.
Yeah. He's trying to play, obviously. So I'm really growing tiresome of that news anyway. By the way, Joe Flacco has been cleared to play on Sunday due to his concussion protocol thing. So I guess he passed okay. Which surprised me because that hit looked pretty bad.
Yeah, and how is Ndamukong Suh not suspended after putting his hands around the throat of Ryan Mallett, by the way? I've never liked that guy, but...
Yeah, me neither.
Well, shall we take a look at Week 9?
Let's take a look at Week 9
Kevin, what is... Looking at the schedule... Give me a couple games that are grabbing you as high-interest games for the week.
All right. Well, of course, we were afraid that this game was going to be flex because of the record of both the teams. My Oakland Raiders are the Sunday night game at Miami because I have a lot of friends that are going to this game, but they have to give you 2 weeks' notice, apparently. Obviously, for personal reasons, I'm hoping Oakland can start to turn things around before they head out on their bye. Let's see here. Carolina, Atlanta, I find interesting. New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Philly at Denver. But I got to give it to your Kansas City Chiefs at Dallas. I think that's a big game.
Oh, I agree completely. And I think that right now the line is -1. But Dallas basically getting the home field advantage. But this is all comes back to Ezekiel Elliott, if he can play or not. I'll be the first to say, Kansas City has been horrible against the run this year. And if Ezekiel plays in that game, I'm willing to be kind of scared. I'm not too worried about Dallas's defense. I think this could be a very high-scoring game. It's winnable for either thing. I think it's much more crucial for Dallas at this point. They're going to have a lot more to play for. Kansas City's heading into their bye week after this game. It's a huge game. It's going to be nationally televised 4:25 afternoon game. So that's going to be huge. A couple other games that kind of stand out of interest for me. I look at
Philly-Denver.
Well, you see how this is make or break for Denver. If Denver loses this game, they're done. Yeah. Denver looked horrible against Kansas City offensively. On the Monday Night Football game, Denver's defense is still studs, but their offense is just terrible. I think Atlanta Carolina is a big game. I think if Carolina wins that, I think you can stick the fork in the Falcons.
Yeah, which is what I was predicting.
Seattle at Washington's an interesting game because I think that could be a break Washington game if Washington loses that game.
Yeah,
and I'm a little curious. There's a lot of games that I think this week are kill a season game, as I'll say.
Or keep the pace games.
Buffalo
Jets.
I think if Detroit loses at Green Bay on Monday night, Detroit's done for a playoff shot.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I think Baltimore at Tennessee, that's actually kind of a crucial AFC game as far as playoffs go. I think even Jacksonville at Cincinnati is kind of crucial. A game that I find interesting because more than anything, I guess, because of my local area being around Tampa Bay has gotten the Hard Knocks curse. Jameis Winston is hurt. Their defense has had injury after injury, and they're just not playing up to the talent level. If they lose this game to New Orleans, lose this game to New Orleans, the quiet rumors are going to become very loud because, Kevin, last week at the end of the Carolina game, the Tampa fans started a chant.
What did they chant?
Gruden. Gruden. Gruden.
Not liking their coach, huh?
If they tank this season out and finish with 4 wins or less, Kurt Cutter will be fired.
Yeah.
And there has been a lot of Chucky talk.
High hopes for that team. I know how that feels. High hopes for that team. And
well, let me ask you this, because do you think if the Raiders keep going at the pace they're going, is Del Rio going to be put on the hot seat?
No, I don't think so. I think there'll be a shakeup in the offensive and defensive coordinators. Definitely, most likely the defensive coordinator. But I think Del Rio is gonna. I think his job's gonna be safe.
Well,
at least for one more season.
I think he's got till they move to Vegas. If they haven't gotten far in the playoffs before they move to Vegas, they're gonna start with a new coach going into Vegas. But that's just my prediction. But are you ready to talk a little fantasy football, Kevin?
Unfortunately.
Was it a rough week, my friend?
Unfortunately.
Because I'm feeling pretty good. I went 4-0 in my fantasy leagues this year.
Dang, dude. Yeah, I went out of my three, I know I won one of them. I think I won one of them. I think it was my Yahoo league. Our NFL league. Yeah, I didn't. Well, where am I at with that one right now? Jeez, I am. No, I think I won that one. I'm in sixth place right now. You're still in first place there, 7-1, bro. Well done. You're tied, but you're up by percentage.
Yeah, I have. I'm winning by points. Here's the crazy thing: is our buddy who has the team, Charlie's Nuts. I played him in both our NFL and ESPN league this week.
Actually, that's not a him.
Oh, that's
a her.
That's
right,
Jennifer. That's right. It is Jennifer. I'm sorry, Jennifer. I haven't met you in person yet. So, but yes, I played Jennifer.
I actually would like to get. I'd actually like to get her on. Yeah. I'll talk to her about that. She'd be fun. I haven't talked to her in a while. We know each other, but she's a big football fan, and she's been a part of my league for a while now. It's always
and she was up on me going into the Monday night game, and Kansas City's defense and their kicker really came through for me in the ESPN league. In our ESPN league, where everybody's just about at the same record.
Yeah, I'm at. That was the one. I think I won that one. I can't remember. No, I think I lost that one. I'm at 4-4 behind you in the first down order at 5-3. So I'm still in it. Everyone like Charlie's Nuts and Bootleg Rio in the West. They are 5-3 and 4-4 with the other guys. So yeah, there's still
I have a fantasy story for you, though, Kevin. Mainly in our NFL league. I also have this particular player in my Yahoo league as well, and that is Deshaun Watson. Everything all week. Don't play Deshaun Watson. This is going to be his toughest test. It's Seattle. It's the Legion of Boom. You're in Seattle, the 12th man. Deshaun Watson in our NFL.
I'm going to guess you didn't start him, did you?
And I still won, but... Deshaun Watson in our NFL league scored 104 points by himself.
That's
needless to say, Deshaun Watson is starting because in both of my leagues that I have in this week, because the Houston Texans are playing the Indianapolis Colts.
That's definitely worth trying. I'm starting Will Fuller. I got him in my NFL league here, but man, my team's just average. I got Cam Newton, Chris Thompson, Aaron James, Michael Crabtree, Will Fuller, Devin Funches, Evan Ingram, and Javoris Buck Allen as my starters right now. I'm not ready to start Derek again. He's just inconsistent. But I'm hoarding Jacksonville backup running backs. I got both Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon.
Well, Fournette's supposed to be back this week, so it might be time to move along. But
yeah. My question is whether or not to start my Buffalo Bills against the Jets, which I currently have slotted in there, or your Kansas City Chiefs at Dallas.
Until otherwise, I would go with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they got a decent. They jacked up the Raiders last week. So,
but do we have some good waiver wire pickups this week, Kevin? Anybody out there grabbing your attention?
We do. What's funny is that we have names that we've seen before that people still haven't quite picked up yet. We got Paul Richardson from Seattle. This guy here I picked up in one league, Robbie Anderson, wide receiver from New York Jets. Austin Seferian Jenkins is probably the leading receiver there, the tight end. But Robbie Anderson comes in a close second. We got Deion Lewis, who's available still in a lot. I have him in one or two of my leagues. He looks like the go-to running back for the Patriots. Of course, they're on a bye right now, so a lot of people might be dropping him, so make sure you grab him. Yeah. DeAndre Washington for
What's the deal with DeAndre, Kevin?
Yeah, he's I think he's the guy you want to get behind, in my personal opinion, get behind just get him anyway, even if you don't have Marshawn Lynch. He's getting the ball a lot, man. He's getting passes as well. And he's only owned in, like, if you're playing Yahoo, he's only owned in 19%.
Well, let me ask you a quick question about DeAndre, because I actually picked him up in one of my leagues, and I started him because I knew he was going to be the starting running back because of Marshawn Lynch's suspension.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch is not playing that great for the Raiders, Kevin.
No, he's not. And I'm not sure the reason why for that, but I could see DeAndre getting a lot more starts.
And DeAndre made some serious splash plays, not only against Kansas City, he had one of their better plays against Buffalo as well. I think he's the most explosive running back on your roster right now.
I would agree, yeah. Also look at Jack Doyle, the tight end for Indianapolis. He went crazy last week, and he seems to be a reliable receiver there. I got to ask you, everyone's talking about the running backs from Miami now. Seems like the favored one to be picked up is Kenyon Drake. What's your take?
My take is don't touch a Miami offensive player at this point.
All right, moving along. Juju Smith-Schuster. Get this guy. Everyone should this guy.
And
get
he has Juju the greatest Smith. Touchdown celebrations in the NFL right now.
Oh,
well,
what's he doing?
Last week him and Le'Veon Bell did the hide and seek after a touchdown. And then the story was this past week that he had his bicycle stolen because he lives about a mile from the stadium and he rides his bicycle to the stadium every day because he doesn't have a driver's license. And his bike got stolen. He got it back, but what he did after he scored a touchdown was he pulled out a chain on the sideline and pretended to padlock one of the exercise bikes on the sideline first.
That's nice.
A running back I want to throw out there too is Alex Collins of the Baltimore Ravens. He's kind of starting to become the man. A lot of people thought it was Buck Allen earlier, and Buck Allen's becoming kind of fit in that third down role, and Alex Collins is getting the majority of the carries. I think in Seattle, who cut Alex Collins in one of their final cuts before the start of the season, is wishing they had him back right about now.
Oh, yes, definitely. Marlon Mack, too, he's kind of on the bubble. I'm not quite buying him.
Here's the frustration part about Marlon Mack. He's not getting a lot of carries, but he is getting like a big run or a big catch and yardage wise for a long touchdown almost every week now. It's a little.
Yeah, but he's not getting the snaps.
Frank Gore is still getting the majority of the snaps there.
Marquise Lee, if you're not a running back, offensive player, I don't know. I can't really rely on any, Jacksonville receivers right now because it's all about the running backs apparently. Orleans Darkwa.
We're kind of getting back to that thing, and I know a lot of people are starting to hit their trade deadlines in their league and such.
I hardly ever trade. Do you trade?
Usually the trades I get offered are so outrageously one-sided that I'm like, no, not happening. Yeah. But, Kevin, do you have a pick for a player this week who's like your player to watch for fantasy football?
I've picked up a couple right now. Let me think here real quick. Oh, gosh. Juju. You got to pick up the Juju, man.
I'm with you on Juju. I think there's a couple of guys because because of trades, maybe not this week, but in the next few weeks, could finally be living up to some potential. I think Kelvin Benjamin could actually make an impact on the Bills. Jay Ajayi, I think, it's going to be interesting to watch how he plays out over the Eagles in the next couple of weeks. But a guy who I'm going to recommend, a lot of people have been picking him up over the last few weeks, I think Cooper Kupp of the Los Angeles Rams is going to just get better as the season goes along. There are people who are comparing him to a young Jordy Nelson.
I've been waiting for that guy, though. He's just has not quite gotten there. Matthew Berry's high on Cooper Kupp. I don't get it. I'm looking at his week to week scoring, and I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not sold on it.
Here's the frustrating thing with the Rams is Goff is playing very well for them, but he's not really picked out a favorite receiver yet, per se. He's kind of spreading the ball around, but he does have a pretty good rapport with Cooper Kupp. So I think it's something to bear watching over the next few weeks.
If I were to say, kind of keep an eye on things here is, let's see here. Let me look at my team. I would look at a couple of tight ends that you could also throw into a flex position if you're allowed to do that. You got to pick up Evan Ingram.
Who else is catching the football in New York?
Receiver. Exactly. And, of course, Austin Seferian Jenkins, you got to pick him up too. I picked up TJ Yeldon because he's getting a lot of extra touches. Even though I know, Fournette's been hurt, I think TJ Yeldon is going to be sliding into that number two slot. And I think he's definitely worth a handcuff there just in case. If you have a flex that you can throw in there, including a tight end, I'd look at those tight ends. Because in my leagues, I don't have a tight end only slot. I have either a wide receiver tight end option, or I have a flex that you can put any of those guys in there.
When what about an upset pick? And just in looking at the schedule in front of us, Kevin, is there an upset that maybe we possibly could look for this week?
Upset, huh? Well, I'm looking at the line here. It's really hard to choose some of these unless Jets at home can upset the Bills. I could Green Bay Monday night. But I can't really say the Dallas and Kansas City game because that line is pretty much even. So I can't really call Dallas winning an upset. Baltimore at Tennessee, maybe. Cincinnati at Jacksonville. That would be an upset, definitely.
I'm going to go out on a limb on one. Tampa Bay is a 7-point underdog at the New Orleans Saints. This is Tampa Bay shut up or flush it game. And I'm not going to say Tampa Bay is going to win, but I'm going to say they will cover the spread.
That's a big stretch. Come on.
I think Jameis has got something to prove. And I will say this. New Orleans, even though they're playing better defense, they have not been able to stop the run all season. Doug Martin has been very close to busting out the last couple of weeks. This could be the game where he finally busts out. I just don't know if Tampa has the defensive horses to keep up with Drew Brees. But I do think Tampa Bay could keep this close.
All right, we'll see.
So with that, Kevin, I think it's time to call the final play of the game. Do you have anything special for us for this week?
Yeah, if you catch the ball to me, I'll do a cool little touchdown dance for you.
Well, I promise you this. We are not going to let Tyreek Hill throw any balls into the end zone because ouch. But with that, we are making our final push as we head to week 9 and march on with the end zone.